8:15, time to introduce our guest this morning.
Does he need much introduction? Tony Martin would be very well known to Triple R listeners. One of the two tones, I've often heard it said. He's the hot one of the two tones.
Oh, yeah. Really? Crikey.
We're here to talk to him about, well, a whole range of things, I'm sure, but his new book, A Nest of Occasionals, which follows up the very well-received Lolly Scramble. Tone, welcome to Triple R. Brekkie.
Thanks, guys. It's a big morning. Sorry, I do have a bit of a cold, so I haven't got a peg on my nose,
no.
Just in case you think that. But well, you've busted out my way a bit early, haven't you?
As
if I'm in charge over there. I wanted Brightman and Bocelli.
You wouldn't hand it over.
No, that's fine. Tone. Yeah. Well, don't we have to talk about the book?
All right. Well,
I don't think you're forced to, Sam.
I'm wondering what you're up to. What secret project are you moving on to?
No, yeah, Tone, exactly. Let's not talk. We're not talking about him.
Oh, okay. Tone came in and told me basically that while I've been away, ADBC, which is a television show that we did together.
Yes.
I just like saying that.
Thursday nights, SBS, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, the whole guide is out of whack.
What happened was they dropped episode 7
down the order,
so they just dropped it completely. Yeah. So that means every episode moves up one.
Yeah. So that's why you've had the same shirt on 2 weeks in a row, Sam.
Thank you very much.
But it means that all the TV, if you go to the SBS website, all of the lists of the guests are wrong. And I'm assuming that's where the newspapers get their listings from. So it's wrong every week. Last night it said that when in fact I was on the week before. And I've tried emailing them, Sam. I have, but
it's good to keep viewers on their toes.
I'm not sure it's plugged in at their end.
No,
that wouldn't be surprising.
And let's talk about A Nest of Occasionals. I know, Sam.
Is it time for me to go now?
Sam doesn't want to, but for people that don't know what it's about a young T. Martin's life, some of the formative years.
Yes,
would you say
just embarrassing moments from the last 40 years
you
of
grew
my
life? You grew up under an oppressive censorship regime with National Geographic being censored by your parents.
I thought you were talking about his mum. You are, really.
All the breasts were cut out of our issues of the National Geographic. It's true. I didn't discover that till I compared them with the ones in the school library. But it is. It's embarrassing stories from my life. But as Sam Pang pointed out when I got in here, threaded through references to Burt Reynolds. And I hadn't noticed that. You know, so think about it. When you write a book, you actually don't know what you've done until people read it and tell you what you've done. Yeah. You get emails and you go, oh, is that what I was doing? I had no idea. But I really hadn't spotted that there were that many Burt Reynolds references.
There's a mention of Rickles. There's a mention. I think Barney Miller is mentioned.
Is mentioned, yeah.
Great.
Have you got that here, Sam?
No.
Oh, damn.
Because we had the end at our school.
Yes, can you explain this?
Well, whenever it rained at our school, we had prints of two movies that you could watch, so there was no sports. I'd be right, we're going to show a film. It was either Hamlet, was it Laurence Olivier, or The End, written by, or at least directed by, and starring Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise, a comedy about suicide, if you've ever seen it. Great to show school kids, battling with puberty bullying.
So how many times do you think you saw that movie?
I saw The End about 8 times, because it was like nobody wanted to see Hamlet again.
No.
That tedious nonsense. It was all right, The End.
This is like you said, you've come into a studio where the three people on air with you have read the book, Tone.
I have to say the greatest broadcasting moments of the last 10 years were the readings from the Burt Reynolds autobiography on this show.
That is Sam's legacy.
No,
by the
but
way.
Also, and this a chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. An actor prepares, apparently. How bad an actor were you?
Oh, I was pretty bad because I was I really just got into the amateur theatre to try and meet women because that was because I wasn't a footballer.
No.
And I'm from a footballing part of the world.
Although, because actually, in the tone of this whole book,
I'm in a room full of footballers.
No, I wanted to. The idea that you've mentioned that you watched The End 18 times. You're a bad actor, and also that you did that. You know, there's a bit where you talk about doing the haka.
That's the thing at school in New Zealand. God. Skinny white guys have to do because they introduced Maori studies in the mid 70s. So we would have to regularly do the haka, and I always just remember. I always thought it would be a great opening titles for a movie set in the 70s.
Skinny Pākehās.
Skinny Pākehās doing the kamate kamate, while outside the window, Maori kids wagging class, pissing themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I remember that happening several times.
It's amazing to me, having read the account of the making of Batman Again, a film by Tony Martin, that you ever pursued any sort of career in film after that initial experience. Not a great deal of support from your school for your efforts.
No, well, I did pretty much wag school for 2 weeks to make a film so that we could enter the after-school filmmaking competition on Television 2, which the after-school programs were hosted by Richard Wilkins, then known as Richard Wilde, and we came third. The film that came first was about a cat on a skateboard.
Wow. Was that still back in the day with the Goodnight Kiwi?
Yeah. At how do you know so much about New Zealand? Hey. Are you from there?
No, sorry. I'm not.
Right.
I just know stuff.
The Goodnight Kiwi was...
You can check it out on YouTube.
Close Down, it was called. But does any station have Close Down anymore?
Not that I know.
Where it goes
do
off?
Do you know how many times I'm asked if I say to somebody, oh, where do you work? And I say 3RRR, and they say, do they broadcast 24 hours? Like, it's still, they're stuck in that moment in time where we must be so lame that we wrap it up at about 12.
That cat on the skateboard you can see on YouTube. That is actually official.
Someone sent me a very funny New Zealand tourism commercial, which is on YouTube at the moment, from the 70s. And it's just like people at what must have been the only nightclub in Auckland for 60 seconds. And then the catchphrase at the end, it's like as good as any of the ones from the posters on the wall of the office of the manager in Flight of the Conchords. It just says, New Zealand, go there now. That's the catchphrase, go there now.
Now, I heard you a couple of weeks ago with Daniel Kitson, because he left here.
Right.
And then was going into 774.
The Convo Hour.
And which was a massive plug for Triple R in the end.
Yes.
But John Fain was really struggling with the idea. You do mention a fish that has a light attached to the front of its head. I don't know the name of this fish, but it's real.
It is real. When I was a kid, I was obsessed by that fish because it was a book which had a picture of deep sea fish, and there was one that had an itty bitty book light coming out of its head, and I used to try and dive down deep enough to see one. So we're talking about this on air, and Fain thought that we were taking the piss.
Yeah.
He's going, there's no fish with a light coming out of its head. What are you talking about? And then people started emailing in, faxing in, what do you say? Texting in.
And
using semaphore flags or a Morse code machine. And he's looking at the screen going, well, people say it's real, but I don't believe it. That's nonsense. And then finally someone brought in a Wikipedia page to show him, and he was still cynical. Okay, I'm prepared to accept there might be a fish with a light coming out of its head. And then Kitson's gone, well, did you know there's a cow with an extractor fan in its hoof? And then for about 10 seconds he wasn't sure whether that might have been true.
No,
but he meant well.
The itty-bitty book-like fish does get a mention in the book. And it is real, John Fain.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out its name.
You refuse to acknowledge this, Tom, but you do have many fans. Don't you think that this is just...
extractor fans?
Yeah. This is just a good read.
Well, there it is.
And also, can you tell us about Dennis and Neville?
Well, Dennis and Neville was just an ad campaign for a furniture shop that was meant to be Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, but none of us could do Dudley Moore, so it was Peter Cook and Peter Cook, and we would just improvise obscene... it would just be 25 seconds of obscenity as long as we mentioned discounted furniture in the last 5 seconds.
And it was all right.
And there was somebody, I'm trying to work out what I can say on the radio. I'm in Triple R, so I guess I can talk about this.
Come on, have a crack.
We had heard that a man had, and this is true, this isn't like some disgusting joke. I'm only saying this because it's true.
Okay.
That a guy in Hamilton in New Zealand had gone to San Francisco to have an operation to make his anus wider.
Wow. You have to go to San Francisco for
apparently
that?
The specialists are there for sexual reasons.
Okay.
And I just pictured in my head the clinic where that would be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I pictured the reception being like a pizza shop with like the three circles with like the three silhouettes of different sizes.
What's the name of the clinic, do you think?
I don't know.
No.
And this was used to advertise. This was used to advertise furniture type.
Rectal widening is us. I don't know. Gyms. I don't know. But anyway,
surely
we did
it's franchised now.
Wasn't a subject maybe to talk about in an ad for a furniture shop. So Dennis and Neville, these characters, the pathetic characters, were sacked. And that was, that's the end of Dennis and Neville. But then this nightclub in Tauranga called up and went, we want Dennis and Neville. So Dennis and Neville actually were more successful than us in real life.
Yeah. I know you've claimed to have a cold, but people won't know where you got that wonderful Aussie twang from? I happen to know there was a TV show you spent a fair bit of time with that.
Well, yeah, I was told to lose the accent, so I locked. And now people hang Alan Bro, Cal Wilson. It's kind of fashionable to retain the weird vowels. But no, I locked myself in flat and watched Sons and Daughters for about a week and a half, just saying the word pill over and over again.
Terence Donovan, would he be in that?
Was that the one with Pat the Rat, wasn't it? That was the one with
Ali Fowler.
I think I'm getting this right. This was where Pat the Rat was Rowena Wallace. Mm-hmm. And did she leave the show?
Yes, and Belinda Giblin came in and took over from her as Pat the Rat. And then I think the Rat came back.
But how was that explained? She went to South America to where they did this amazing...
For an arse-wide...
the arse-winding clinic at a sideline and turning you into Belinda Giblin. Just give me a... I'll have an arse-wide and a Giblin. Thanks.
Just give us the Giblin.
All right. Hang on, so how did Pat the Rat come back? She went back and had the reversal.
It's too wide. So she went back over to get it, you know, and back again.
Now, there's no chance you're going anywhere, Tone.
Mm. No, not a chance.
But the book
no
is way. For those that missed it. Yes. If you join us, we're talking to Tony Martin about A Nest of Occasionals, which is the follow-up to Lolly Scramble. He's not going anywhere, though, Fiona.
No.
I thought I'd play a little bit of this. Hey?
What a song.
Never underestimate what I got over here.
Al Linden, where are you?
And Comic Sans, I think, was the font.
Yes. That is Don Cavalli. Another call I had for that this morning. It's a popular album. Cryland is the name of it. And that was the title track for you this morning. It is already time for the news. It's going to be 16.
Keep the frequency clear.
All right.
About it. 8:30 Triple R News. Anglerfish, is that what you say, Fiona? Is that
it's an anglerfish.
Anglerfish.
And they call it an anglerfish because it looks like it's got a fishing rod.
Oh.
So it's angling.
So it's like an angle poise lamp on its head.
I had quite a few calls about that. And thank you to Barney Miller for dropping in the Barney Miller theme.
Yeah.
Oh, can we do it? I want to do it now.
In the news? Is this
it's a Barney Miller. What a theme song. Obviously, which is well renowned as one of the greatest.
Sure.
Barney Miller was one of the first shows I watched with my parents, and I'm pretty sure that I can name maybe four casts.
Cavacrack.
So Hal Linden.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jack Sue.
Yep.
Abe Vigoda.
Abe Vigoda. Fish.
Fish, of course. And he played Tessio in The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
And... Ron Glass played Harris.
Yes, Ron Glass. But then who was Woja Howitz? He was the guy I always confused with the sidekick to Angie Dickinson in Policewoman. They look very similar. Blockheaded
kind of guy.
And the one I liked the most because he was funny and dry is it Steve Landsberg?
I can't remember him. No. But Fish is still alive because Abe Vigoda is the classic person... who everyone thinks is dead. He's been reported dead about 7 times. And he has to put the hand up and go, I'm 108.
Kids, I'm still here.
Still working, still available.
Jesus. On this show, we always enjoy someone, someone dying. And it's the only because of their death that you realize
that they're alive.
So Carl Malden was still alive until this year. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
See? We found out Doris Day was still alive. Yeah, see?
Tony Martin is still alive. The actor Tony Martin is about 106, I think.
Wow.
The program manager's clutching his chest.
Sorry.
He's not really.
This is not the news. The news bit starts now.
8:32, Triple R News. More than 253. No, I don't think it's more than 200 Sri Lankan asylum seekers caught on a boat. It's about 253 or 255 in Indonesia en route to Australia have gone on a hunger strike. Pleading to be resettled in a Western country like Australia. They declared their hunger strike after a disagreement with Indonesian authorities who want to move them off their boat and into a nearby house. An Indonesian official says the Sri Lankans who are in contact by mobile phone with their relatives in Canada fear they will be deported once they are off the rundown cargo boat. A spokesman for the Sri Lankans say the 31 children on board are not part of the hunger strike, as footage of one of the children pleading for asylum has been screened around the world. Meanwhile, opposition leader Malcolm Turnbull continues to hammer Kevin Rudd over the arrival of refugees, saying the Prime Minister must admit his government's border protection policies are a failure. I'm not sure he's going to get that admission. The chance of a green light for emissions trading seems to have lifted, with opposition leader Malcolm Turnbull now confident he can seal the deal. But the opposition and the government say they're ready to negotiate in good faith about the scheme. The opposition is putting the finishing touches to its draft with business-friendly amendments to the ETS, which are expected to be approved at a party room meeting on Sunday. After that, Mr. Turnbull has told, do I say Radio 2GB? I suppose so. The talks with the government will take place, and he assures there'll be an agreement. But he's warned the opposition will fight against the scheme if the government rejects all its amendments.
Who's on Radio 2GB, Tone? Do you know? Is that Ray Hadley?
Hadley, I think. Yeah. I think it is. Should we say that, though?
No. Is he the shit sibling?
No, he's not. No, he's not. That's Dale Hadley, Richard Hadley's brother. He's not a shock jock in Sydney.
No. It's spelled double E, Richard Hadley. See the cricketer who hung on to his car? That was for the whole team, and yes. He said, bugger it, I'm going to have the whole thing for myself.
International Cricketer of the Year, exactly.
The tradition, of course, was to share the car, or basically sell the car and split the winnings. And Hadley said, no, I'm driving this home.
You and Chatfield would never have done that.
No, Ewan would not have done that. Before I come to you, Sam, I'm going to flip stories here. Director Roman Polanski is working on his latest film from a Swiss jail cell where he is fighting extradition to the United States. Writer Robert Harris has told the newspaper that Polanski wants to finish the movie in time for its planned premiere at the Berlin Film Festival in February.
Tone, could you have directed Bad Eggs from a jail?
With a little monitor, possibly. Yeah. I reckon that could have been done. This is Polanski. This is about the 13-year-old girl. It's not. They didn't get him for Pirates, did they? It wasn't for Pirates.
No, this is.
That's still pending, that case. Have you ever seen Pirates, Roman Polanski's Pirates? There's not a single silver fight in it. It's like a $50 million pirate movie with nothing happens. It's Walter Matthau just grumbling around on a boat deck what did they spend the money on?
Their eye patches? Did they spend their money on eye patches?
They got an eye patch, a wooden leg, nothing. No cannons going off, no sword fights,
no
nothing.
No cutlets? That's amazing. there's the
Do they have a plank?
They couldn't, not even a plank.
Not even a plank.
Cutlets, we're fighting with veal cutlets.
MotoGP is on a Sunday for anyone who's interested, but also, as we have a former... Did you play League or Union?
I played Union for one game and had all of my teeth knocked out by the cast of Once Were Warriors, and that was my football career.
And good morning to Mira Morrison, if you're listening.
All right, well, that's hello, Union. There's Union news. Tone's back catalogue. And then the Rugby League is Australia heads off to the Four Nations tournament today.
Well, the Four Nations pub, maybe.
Yes, that's in Richmond. So that's kind of rugby league news.
Thank you, Sam. Today's weather mostly cloudy. Scattered showers tending to rain at times during the morning, just over the outer eastern suburbs, to put a finer point on things. Showers becoming less frequent during the afternoon. Winds westerly tending south to southwesterly during the morning, and 10.8 degrees currently. We're hoping to get to 16 degrees. So Tony Martin's sticking around.
You want to do another talk break on your book at 8:45?
Let's get back to Abe Vigoda, I think.
Well...
Hey, I've got a picture of the anglerfish up for you guys too.
Oh my goodness.
It's not the most attractive
look
of fish.
At that.
You were diving for that time.
I wanted to see that up close.
You might want to have a think about that. That's got some serious teeth. It is time for us to check in with what's going on at this festival. That is The Big Pink. It's a remix of the track Velvet. It's the Mount Kimby remix for you this morning. And before that, we heard some Royal Chord. They've got a brand new album out. Very sweet packaging, I have to say. Royal Chord's album is called The Good Fight, and Too Easy was the name of the track this morning. It's 14 minutes to 9. Things we didn't get to do this week. Tony Martin's still sticking around with us.
Yes.
The author of A Nest of Occasionals.
But we've not really been talking about that. We've been talking about Barney Miller.
Yeah, and Dean rang and asked about Abe Vigoda's character Fish and a possible spin-off tone.
There was a spin-off series called Fish.
That's right.
I think he was the only one who got a spin-off. But my favourite show like that is the spin-off from The Dukes of Hazzard. You remember Sheriff Roscoe P. Coltrane? Yeah. And then the early series, he had a detective called Enos. And then Enos got his own show called Enos that went for about 11 episodes. And the great thing I remember about it was the streets of Hazzard County were just shot on what was obviously the backlot standard street set. at whatever studio it was. But then the plot of Enos was, I'm leaving Hazard County and I'm going to the big city. So the thing was, I'll be the hick sheriff and I'll be in, like, San Francisco. But the streets were just the same streets from Hazard County. So it was like a bizarre science fiction where he's left Hazard County and gone to a big city that looks exactly like Hazard County. And the same, like, fire hydrant got driven into by a car every single week. It's bizarre.
How's Joey going? The spin-off series from Friends. Did that go anywhere?
I think... Did Joey...
Surely not a second season.
Did it run better than Joni Loves Chachi?
And didn't that woman... Didn't Adriana... Leave that didn't isn't that why she had to be whacked in the Sopranos? Because she was going to be in Joey. That was a good move. Imagine leaving the Sopranos to be in Joey.
Are you serious? That's terrible.
Because we're all over the show.
What was the plot? I can't remember. I know he was just the grumpy old man at home. There was no detective. This is what crime prevention element.
Caller said that I thought, oh, okay, so it's a spin-off that he'd obviously be solving crime by himself. No, he was just a grumpy old man.
I think his wife looked after kids.
Why would you do that? Was he in Grumpy Old Men?
No, was he? Was he in Grumpier? Was there Grumpiest? Yes. Was there a third?
No, really?
Did they go that far?
Dear.
I wonder, because people are amazed by your knowledge. What bears out in A Nest of Occasionals?
Yes.
It's useless information.
It's not helpful information.
No, but what was interesting to me was that you did stalk some video stores in the mid-'80s in Brisbane when you had moved to Australia. You did some serious VCR time.
Well, that was... It's hard to imagine the excitement of when video clubs first began. And it was possible, with diligence and effort, to see every video in the shop. You couldn't do that now. There's too many Steven Seagals and things going straight to DVD, but you could see everything in the shop. And what was exciting about video shops were films that hadn't come out at the movies, coming out on DVD, like The Man with Two Brains never came out at the movies.
Why didn't people think that it did,
but it didn't.
What? Any reason?
I don't know. It was because those Steve Martin movies were actually bombing. No one went to Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, so... Man with Two Brains and Lonely Guy, another one, never came out at the movies here. Interesting, isn't it?
Turkey.
Well, it is.
Mm. And Motel Hell, Basket Case, films like that you could only see at the video shop. But yeah, I actually belonged to three different video clubs. And I remember the local one. I sort of befriended the guy at the shop, and I started talking to him about the Fury, Brian De Palma's The Fury, and how amazing it looks and still frame when you slow down the bit where John Cassavetes explodes at the end of the film. And he was looking at me weirdly, and then he's gone, hang on, mate, where did you see that? And I'm going, I rented it here. And he's going, no, you didn't. We haven't got that one here.
And so then you outed yourself.
And he realised that I belonged to another video. And finally I admitted, and I went, oh, look, okay. And I had three cards in my wallet. He's going, oh, right. And he's gone, who has the best... deal on, and I said I only get weeklies from you though.
Trying to dig yourself out.
It's just got worse and worse.
When they realise you're seeing other video stores, yeah. It's heartbreaking.
You can see the lipstick on my collar. It's awful.
Awful. I've got a picture of Abe Vigoda up now on the computer screen.
Really? Is it a fish? There's a light bulb coming out of his head. You wouldn't want to see that at the bottom of the ocean.
It's a good set of eyebrows, I've got to say.
Were you a wrestling fan? Did you ever follow wrestling?
No. Never. Santo Chilaro has got... I tell you what, Santo Chilaro got me on... What was the wrestling that was on Channel 10 in the mid-'80s or the late-'80s? Mean Gene Oakland.
Mean Gene Oakland.
He was the commentator with a bald guy, sort of looked like Hank Kingsley.
Was that someone else? No, well, Howard Finkel was the ring announcer. Mean Gene did interview side of stage,
and he was great because he took everything really seriously. So, and it was really funny. Like the British Bulldogs, is that somebody?
Yeah.
They had their bulldogs stolen, their mascot stolen, and Mean Gene was crying.
Yep.
He was like, I can't believe people would stoop to something this low.
He played it very, very straight.
Mean Gene, you can see on weekends on WWE, because WWF lost a court case with the World Wildlife Federation.
Yeah.
And he is doing WWE Vintage, where he hosts old ones.
Right.
We've got him here.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from World Championship Wrestling. When I'm in Australia, I listen to 3RRR. Check them out.
Yeah, no, he was great.
For people are concerned that Biggsy wouldn't be able to come in after I announced the death of Captain Lou Albano at 7:45 this morning, Heatone was the gentleman that used to hook up with Cyndi Lauper in her video clips. He was in Girls Just Want to... Funny, the rubber bands coming out of his face.
Of course.
He was a bombastic manager of some wrestlers.
And no longer with us, sad to say. Before we get out of here, Claire Bowditch and the Feeding Set are playing at the Thornbury Theatre on Friday the 23rd of October. We have one double pass to give away if you want to be a part of the audience, 93881027, and you'll definitely hear Claire and the Feeding Set playing this track. It's called The Start of War. Yes, that is The Greats and Trampoline, a dirtied up version, which was from their first little EP that I got my hands on quite some years ago now, from the Ouch the Touch. And we also heard from Claire Bowditch and the Feeding Set, Start of War, the name of the track, and picking up the double pass to go see Claire Bowditch and the Feeding Set at the Thornbury Theatre next Friday was Ashley, who's just subscribed to the station this year and is already reaping the benefits. So well done, Ashley. It is time for us to go because Big Zwa is back from his jaunt overseas, getting in last night very late and already here. Not so fresh, but fresh for everything that's about to come. He's going to be feisty today, I reckon.
And a little bit sombre.
You're saddened by the news.
Captain he Lou is. Albano. He didn't know.
I know. No. I feel rather awful. Yeah. It was me that told him that.
What about these thank yous?
Here we go.
Billy Pennell joined us earlier with his racing tips. Huh?
Oh, great. Yep. Can I get a burn of
got,
that?
Have you got the Caulfield
Race 5,
have you got
horse the... 11. Race 6, horse 7.
And the Caulfield
Race
Cup?
8, 17.
Vigor. Is going to win the Caulfield
Cup. Out of barrier 22,
the Goda.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And also a big thank you to the author of A Nest of Occasionals, Tony Martin. Thank you for coming in again.
Well, thanks, everybody. And Sam, obviously, you know, amazing news. And I wish you all the luck with your Joey-style spin-off.
For those that missed the 7:45, Sam Pang has announced that he will not be a breakfast here at Triple
M. No,
next
I am I'm leaving to spend more time with my family. So... They don't know about that yet, but no. That's something to look forward to.
They're already calling, saying why. And also, big thank you to John Oglaso, who has just saved our bacon, literally, over the last few months. John, I really do thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's been nice to see your face every week.
Sounding great.
Thank you, Tone, and thank you for my fluffy apple cake this morning, Fiona.
Pleasure, treasure.
Ponder this over the weekend. Is it time up for gollywogs in polite society?
We will speak to you next week. John Oroglasso will, of course, be back as the Big O with his sports segment at 7:45 next Friday. Don't despair.
Cheerio.
It's time for Bigsy to step up to the plate. See ya. Have a good weekend.